Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wake up, Hollywood. Oh, we're here live with the sexy vegan.
There's the cock-a-doodle-doo again.
There's the cock-a-doodle-doo.
I love the cock-a-doodle-doo.
Where'd you come up with that?
I don't know. I just
You're off script and everything.
I know. I know. Damn.
How have you been? I haven't seen you in a
very
couple
good.
Weeks.
I know. It's been a while. It's been
what
a while.
What you been
very
up
good.
To?
You know, I don't get up to much because I got the toddler, you know?
You know what? I'm
there's
sure
not much to get up to.
There are a lot of adventures that you're like holding out.
Well, you know what? He did learn a new word. What he's learning lots
word?
Of words.
What was the new word?
The new word was fuck.
You know what? I got to tell you a story. When I was a kid, mm-hmm. I learned that word, and my parents told me that there was just no need to learn that word.
Mm.
But I use that word a lot.
Yeah, so do I, which is probably how he learned it. But the thing is, he uses it in the proper context. Like, if he drops something, he goes, fuck. Or sometimes he'll go,
that's
fucking
awesome.
Fuck. And I'm like,
dude,
that's pretty good.
Dude, so, that's our studio audience
right?
loves
am
that.
I a good dad yes. or what? But seriously, yes. like... I can't be mad.
No,
because A, he doesn't know that it's bad.
No, of
B,
course.
he's like learning things properly.
And that's got to like, be adorable. You're like, oh my god.
Yeah, yeah, it's totally adorable to me and all of my friends, not my wife.
Yeah,
or grandma.
The missus is like, excuse me.
She's like, we need to replace that with something.
She's like, fuck that noise.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, you really need to stop that. I'm like, I did stop. He like picked up where I left off.
When did he use the word first? Like, what did he drop?
Oh, he was just playing with some blocks. No, we were playing with blocks. He had them all stacked up. He likes stacking things as they do. And it fell over, and he goes, fuck. And I'm like, and I look over, I'm like,
whoa. I just had a little beat. I don't know what I pushed.
I look over,
I pushed
and I
the
say,
button.
Hey, why did you say that? I'm trying to rap to this. By the way, I've been training for freestyling.
That was your cue.
Yeah, I was.
Dude, I almost was like about to produce a record right now.
Dude, okay, let's get everybody out of here. It's just me and you now.
Let's do this. I'm ready.
This is
I'm
the
ready.
Jam right here. Okay,
all
right. Anyway, so, the blocks fell over. He goes, fuck. And I'm like, wait a second.
You're like, wait, you should.
Did he just,
you're like, yeah, wait a minute. You're not supposed to be saying that.
I was like, but you did just use it
and
the correct
like,
way.
What? He's like, two?
No, he's not two yet.
Three.
He'll be two next month.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, is that one of the, like, top 10, 5 words that he knows already?
Yeah, he probably knows about 20 or 30 words,
okay,
maybe, and
right.
that's one of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know.
But I bet he's going to use that one the most out of any of the 20 words.
I really think it's silly that, you know, we put so much time and effort and thought into stopping a kid from saying a word or whatever. What, he's going to say it eventually.
You're going to say it eventually.
He's going to say it by the time he's 10 or 12.
The funny
or
thing is, I remember the exact moment when I came up with the I want to say I came up with the word, but I discovered the word.
Mm.
You know, like as a kid when you're just learning words,
right.
you like go through the alphabet. Like,
sure.
okay, B, back, bok,
right. ball.
Bok,
yeah.
ball, whatever. Yeah. You know, like, so I was doing that with every letter and I came to F and I was like, fuck, fuck. And I remember asking my dad was washing dishes. I was like, Pop says fuck word? And he was like, yeah, you don't need to learn that word right now. And my mom just started laughing and I was just like, fuck. Fuck. Like, I was like, oh, it sounds like a word I'll
right,
use a lot.
Right, right.
And now I use it quite a bit.
It's got a couple consonants. It's got a vowel in the right place. It makes sense.
Let me
sense.
Ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you know what the origination of that word is?
I know it's old from a long time ago.
So it's like old school.
Yeah, it's for unlawful carnal knowledge.
No. Is that what you... Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not what I've heard.
All right, well, let's
so
see.
This is the story that I heard.
Okay.
So...
am I wrong?
It way ancient,
okay,
like medieval times in
okay.
England.
Sure, that's what I'm talking about.
To like have, like there was underpopulation. And mm-hmm. I think the king of England at the time wanted people to procreate. So fuck stood for fornication under the consent of the king. That's what it stood for. That's the story I learned.
Well, I've never heard that one.
Well, but it makes sense, though, because it means the same thing.
Knowledge.
Yeah, fornication under the consent of the king. That's what it's, that's what it stands for. So people just came up with fuck. Fuck!
I've never heard that. That's amazing. That's
Isn't
amazing.
That amazing?
That is amazing.
I got to give a shout out. My best friend, Sean, he told me that story like in high school. And I was like, man, is that true? And he was like, yeah. It's. He said it's literally that's the historical
that
relevance
is
of
one
the word.
Awesome king.
Isn't that awesome? Who yeah, is that I know, king? Right? He's like, everybody needs to start fucking. You! But only under my consent.
What was his name? King Peter North or something? What?
Those kind of details.
King Ron Jeremy?
I never paid attention. King Run Jeremy.
I mean, who are those guys? I've never heard those names before.
Yeah. How do you know that
I
name?
I know. How do you know?
Is he a professional ball player?
I think so. There's definitely balls involved. I know that. And a bat. A very large bat. So what have you been up to?
I have been just kind of all over the map. My fadeaway music video got into the Toronto Independent Film Festival.
Oh.
So I've been like planning the travel
awesome.
For that.
If I had the button, I'd hit like
oh well,
applause
yeah.
or something.
I'm just kidding. No. So the cool thing is, I'm gonna fly to Toronto only for 3 days, which is a little bit nuts.
Your homeland.
Sort of. I was born in Canada, right. But not in Toronto. Toronto was like the cool city.
Okay.
I was born in like St. John's, Newfoundland, on like some small island.
Oh,
that I was
okay.
there for like literally a year, and then I left.
Okay.
It's too cold, man. Too cold.
I don't blame you.
So I'm going to Toronto for 3 days, mm-hmm. literally just to go see the music video
cool.
and see it on the big screen and kind of like make some networking
well,
opportunities.
You're at the Hobnob, you'd be
yeah.
like, hey.
Of course. Like, that's me.
Robert?
No, but and the coolest thing is, I'm going to play a gig out there.
There
so I've
go.
Been like just trying to get a gig for like last 2 weeks just to make sure I can play at a cool venue. And I got this cool place called the Horseshoe Tavern that I'm going to play on Monday, September 14th at 8:45, a little short acoustic set.
Okay.
So I'm going across the borders, man.
Wow.
So I've been busy with that.
Bring me back some whiskey.
I will. What about poutine? You should have asked for something that's illegal.
I'll have some. Yeah. I'll have some.
Whiskey,
some,
I can get you vegan. Anywhere, man.
No, but let me tell you, my dad went to Canada. And he brought back some Crown. Actually, I think it was illegal what he did. Some guy who I met
some
on the
guy
street
who I met.
Brought back some Crown Royal from Canada, and I drank it, and it was a million times better than the Crown Royal that they
sell.
Why
is
there.
That? Is that
because
the
Americans
process
is different? Are shitty and they don't care that much, and Canada's like, we're going to keep the good stuff and give the Americans the crappy stuff because they don't know the difference. They drink Coors Light, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that's
why
true.
Would we waste
that's
our good true. Whiskey on them? But it tasted. You know,
it's that much better.
Difference.
Like
it was that much
considerable difference.
It was a considerable.
Is it like
difference.
The Irish with Guinness?
Probably. I've never had the Guinness.
But Crown Royal is not. Is that
yeah.
a native Canadian drink? I think
so. Yeah, I'm pretty
really?
Sure it's Canadian.
I didn't know that. Showing your true colors and your alcoholic tendencies all in one shot.
I know.
Fuck.
There's no fuck sound effect on this. There needs to be one.
You actually have one. You just have to fumble through
really?
Eddie's sound bites.
I fumble enough around here.
So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you say when your kid says fuck? How do you scold him? Because
I don't.
He obviously
don't.
Learned it from his
I mean,
dad.
I don't. No. I don't scold him. Because he won't know why. Our plan is to try and replace it. With like, oops.
Oh, our studio audience hates that, man.
Okay, studio audience, I'll start
or
scolding him.
What word can you really replace?
No, I just say oops. So hopefully he will then just naturally start using oops instead of fuck. Although I still kind of hope that he still uses fuck because it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. And he's 2 years old.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah. But.
So he knows that it means like, darn
he knows that it's the thing you say after you drop something.
The hard thing is like, once he knows that word means that, there's no other replacement. I mean, I still haven't found a replacement, and I'm 36.
Right, but...
You know, so he's going to be...
He's still moldable.
He's moldable. But he's going to think you lied to him later. He's going to be like, how come you didn't tell me the truth back then? And you're going to be like, fuck!
And he's going to be like, fuck you.
That's right, see?
Well, thank you, Dad.
Well, I hope that he uses it in the moments that are the most appropriate.
So far, so good.
And he doesn't flaunt it. He
judiciously,
uses it sparingly.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, he's frugal with
he
it.
Is. Because if you overuse a word, any word, it loses its meaning.
Exactly.
It loses its meaning.
So I bless him with using the word in the best way possible.
Fantastic. Thank you for your blessing.
And your wife is probably like,
Carula.
Fuck.
Pretty much.
That's awesome. I think our special guest has arrived, Miss Sarah Day.
Oh.
Say hello. How are you?
Hey.
Is your microphone on?
No,
hold
it's
on.
Not.
Just turned us up. There you go. Yeah.
Everybody's microphone is on now. That'll be fun.
So we have Mr. Lincoln Cleary, too, in the house.
How you guys doing tonight?
World famous keyboardist. So, Sarah, let's start with you. So you come all the way from Canada, right?
Toronto, Canada.
Oh, you from Toronto? Oh, my God. That was, like, perfect synchronicity.
I was, like, for real. I was about to. Like, wait, hold on.
You got to tell me all the cool spots to go to. Because I'm going to go there and be like, I'm like a fish. I'm literally a fish out of water.
I am born and raised in Toronto. I'm a T-dot. Girl, sister, do that.
You know, and I got to tell you something. Okay, so I'm a huge Stevie Ray Vaughan fan. I'm a ginormous Stevie Ray Vaughan fan. And I've been learning tunes of his, and I have DVDs of his performances. One of my favorite shows is Live at the El Macumbo. Mm. And so when I was looking for venues, the El Macumbo's in Toronto. It's closed right now.
It is in
But
Toronto.
I was just like, oh my God, one of it's my amazing. Most famous, like one of my most favorite venues is... Mm. In your city, but it's closed right now.
I haven't been home in a little while, so I didn't know that. But
yeah, they're like renovating or something.
Many, yes, they were before.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
But it's an awesome. But you know where you're going to be playing is really dope too.
The Horseshoe Tavern.
That is like a spot,
dude.
Let me tell you,
this is something that no American club would do. So I was emailing clubs, and one club was like, you know what? We're not even open on that day. We're closed Sundays and Mondays, but we're going to open up for you. And I was like, oh, you don't need to do that. That's a lot of pressure.
Right.
I'm just going by myself. You know, like, I'm like, you don't need to do that. So the club called the Horseshoe Tavern, and the Horseshoe Tavern was like, yo, man, I don't think we can accommodate. We already booked fully. And then they called the club and said, yo, you need to get this guy. And so they moved everybody's slot back and gave me a slot, which is like... That,
wow.
I was like, man, Canada, Canadians, man.
That cool.
That's
good there.
Shit right there. No, I mean, seriously, no, every U.S. club, I know this. They'd be like, sorry, man, no, you can't do it. Nope, we're not doing that. Hmm. Nope, sorry. So,
that's
Canadians,
cool.
Especially Torontoians.
So, yes.
What do you call Torontoians?
Torontonians.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Torontonians? It sounds Italian. Hey. Torontonians.
Hey. Torontonians.
We're Torontonians. Torontonians.
We
have to find
this
like.
Fucking maple leaf shit up there. Get some maple syrup.
Torontonians, man. Come on. That is amazing. Okay, so you hail all the way from Toronto.
Yes.
Is that where you grew up as a small child? Like born and raised?
I'm born and raised.
Wow.
I'm a Toronto chick.
Roots.
I grew up in, my parents.
The tower. I'm just kidding.
My parents were together until I was like five. Then I moved to Nova Scotia for a few years.
Where in Nova Scotia? I'm from Nova Scotia too. Halifax.
We talked about this.
That's right.
My mother.
Oh my God.
My mother, is
we're like long lost relatives.
Wow.
You guys don't know.
We probably are related in some way.
Yes. And it's really dope because she's from Nova Scotia. So I got to live there for a few years. And then we came back. And then we were in, like, the projects, which was nice when we moved in.
Right.
In Jane and Finch and then Rexdale.
But wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to be honest.
The West Side.
Nobody has any sympathy for the projects in Canada. It's just not – just doesn't have the same, like, ring.
Come
like,
on.
Ooh. But anyways, all right. So you grew up in the projects of Canada, which is probably, like, the average suburb of Los Angeles.
Right.
No, it's not. I'm serious.
Like Woodland Hills.
Okay, when there's, like – gunshots and drug deals in your building.
Okay,
and
all right.
Like, you know,
you got some street cred right now.
All right.
It's not like I have to say it's very different than America in terms of the guns and I mean there's but we still have.
I'm just trying to paint the scene.
This is like theater here.
Because I'm really not. You know. I'm not,
just kidding.
Hey, leave the dog out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh no.
I'm going.
But
down.
Anyways, I was so. Like grateful to grow up there because there was so much culture. I mean, literally off my building, there would be like Punjab playing, and then there'd be like hip hop and reggae. I grew up in a West Indian neighborhood mostly, which was Jamaican, Trini, Bajan, Guyanese.
Whoa!
So I was like I grew up like a little West Indian girl, and then of course the Indian music was always like a big influence.
Yeah.
And I used to always wear a bindi.
Those are my people.
I used to love the bindi.
A bindi! Oh my God!
I love bindis. I always had like.
You probably had some great meals too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a lot of exotic foods.
My sister's best friend's parents would invite us over, and I would always have like Jamaican food and
oxtail
and
that's
you know.
Amazing.
So I grew up, it was very cultured, which was cool. And then my parents both had like an amazing Motown collection, so I grew up with soul music as well.
Wow!
And then from hip hop and reggae influences, singing reggae.
That's like one of those things. Like the community really has input into your music selection and what you do. Because now
totally.
It's like, that's like roots for you. You know what I mean?
It
it's
is,
like where
it
most people, most Canadians, I just believe, just don't have that same situation.
No,
you know?
And it's most like, of the time they see me and they think I'm like a rich kid from the neighborhood. Right. Even when I was living there, I went to this one school because I wanted to...
Montessori? You know, did you go to Montessori?
No, wanted to go just to checking. Like the best ball school. Because, like, I play basketball.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
I think I expired my ball jokes for today.
My mother used to say, open mouth and insert foot, and I come right honestly. So but anyways, I went to Renamed.
That sound clip is way too long.
I
apologize for him.
I'm listening.
It was the best, like, basketball team, but was the guys.
Okay.
You know, so I thought the women's team would be great, too. So I went there, and then I ended up coaching the team because they were so bad. And then all the girls wanted to beat me up because I was, like, coaching with the senior guys who were, like, the hot guys and everybody wanted them. And then there was, like, the, you know, the West Indian group and the Spanish group. And this was the first time I ever had, like, felt separatism in Canada because I was always very mixed culture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that one school, it was crazy. I was, like... I had to, like, literally call my girl and be like, could you meet me after the game? Because I was, like, afraid to leave.
You don't
want to
go by yourself.
You didn't want to get jumped.
Yeah. It was crazy.
That's some crazy
stuff. So, anyway, Canada is very clean and nice. I always say it's, like, a smaller, cleaner New York. But it's, you know, it's got, you know, we got our little pockets of hood.
So, is there your whole family sort of musical? Did you grow up with always singing and everybody in the family kind of doing
it? My dad actually brought music into my life in that he played guitar and sang to us. You're so silly.
He played guitar and sang
on my bedside, like, since we were kids, my sister and I.
So was he a musician, or was he just, like, he just played fun?
No, he played, and he was pursuing it until... Basically, he was like, okay, I'm 21.
Till he had kids, then everything ends.
Yeah, he said, I'm 21. Yeah. I've got a house.
I'm aware of that
married
situation.
And have a, you know, a kid. And it's like, I need to get paid. And he couldn't handle the business. He hated that it was so whack and just dark, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And
some things haven't changed.
Real money. So he left the business because of it. But he brought me into it. And then he also put me in dance classes when I was 3. And so I started.
What kind of dance? Like ballet?
I was in ballet and jazz.
Okay,
and
cool.
And then later on I did like hip hop and Latin. And
wow. That's awesome.
And yeah, and then Indian because I was in the India. So I loved, like,
now you're just trying to, now you're just trying to win me over.
I told you. I've been a long time. We got history.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Very awesome.
So a lot of culture, which was such a blessing. And then later on I ended up doing like. Getting opening up for Richie Stevens for his album in Jamaica. First I did it in Canada, and then it was such a great opportunity, great show that he invited me to Kingston to open
up
for him
incredible.
In Kingston. So when I got there, I was like, man, I feel like I'm home.
Right.
And I realized again how much, you know, like Jamaican culture and West Indian culture is really like inbred in me because
like, this is like my neighborhood.
I grew up honestly with my hair braided smack. They practice on my hair because it's harder on like white girls' hair.
right, of course.
Because you know, I mean, I don't know.
Like, damn it, my blonde curls, it's just not working right.
But anyway, so it was really interesting and it was a great opportunity. It was like with Capleton, Lovato, all the biggest reggae artists, and then literally me. And I didn't even have an album or anything, but
that's amazing.
It was pretty cool.
So was that the first opportunity that you were like, I want to be a singer, I want to pursue this?
Or did
you know before, or like as a kid?
I actually toured Southeast Asia 7 years before... That happened.
Wow.
How old were you when you started doing tours like that?
Well, I went to musical theater college.
Mm. Where is that?
In high school in Toronto.
Okay. Wow.
It was George Randolph. Well,
does everybody like have jazz hands as you walk in?
Definitely.
Down the halls, like people are doing
required.
Like, I'm just picturing fame. You know,
it is. It's like a fame because it was a private musical theater college, and actually the principal and founder of it was an Alvin Ailey dancer.
Wow.
He was amazing, and it's a Randolph School of Performing Arts. So you had to, like, sing dance.
Alvin Ailey's a really great dance school.
I know. I just want to make sure.
I know you're in the kitchen a lot.
Yeah, no, I had no idea. Thank you. And I've already forgotten what you just told me, so continue.
There you go. But, I was very blessed. So I went in as a dancer that sings and acts, and then they were like, you need to focus on your voice.
Wow.
And then I was like, but I'm a dancer, and I sing and act, too. And
yeah, but I want to
like,
dance.
No, I don't. I was, because, you know, when it's your main career first, like, I was a dancer first, and then I sang and acted, you know, as well. But
this is just like J-Lo's story, I feel. I feel like
I relate to J-Lo.
I would imagine. Yeah, it's very similar.
And so, yeah, so then I started going to musical theater class, and then, you know, I started, like, people were crying, and I was like, wow, I guess I should really focus on the voice.
Amazing.
And the teacher was, like, the biggest casting director in Canada for all the musicals, and she was like, if you focus and work hard, you will do really well.
That's
awesome.
And I was
like, okay. I was like, if she's telling me, I'll listen. Whoever, they're working, you know, professionals in the business. So I just kind of started focusing more. And then once I was almost done, my professors were telling, I was kind of, I don't know, I wasn't, I'm not like a rebel, but I was just like,
you're one minute late from
coming from a sweaty ballet class, and the professor in an acting class was just like, you're 1 minute late, you're suspended, and you're, I'm like,
wow, really?
Are you freaking
kidding? So it literally was like fame.
So yeah, I was just like,
but he did it while doing jazz hands.
Yeah, and I stand up for myself, so I like in front, I'm like, what, how can you just like, I'm 1 minute late, I'm sweating out, you don't want me to come to class, just trust me, I gotta clean myself a little, you know what I mean?
I feel that same way about Brian when he comes to the show.
Sorry.
Some of my professors were like, you need to like just go out in the world. You're ready to work.
Yeah.
And I was getting offers to like audition, but we weren't allowed to audition when we were in school. It was against the rules.
Wow. So against the school rules?
That doesn't make any sense.
I know, but then the
musical
professor...
Musical theater college is like, no auditioning.
Right,
that
right.
comes later.
I know, but that's how it was. And it was a rule, I understood. But it was kind of cool because the professor was like, you know what? You're ready to go. Like, you're ready to work. Just go, you know... I was kind of having a problem with the principal because he was just giving me a hard time.
You were a bad apple.
Wow.
Whoa. Seriously.
I wasn't, but I just was like, what the heck, you know? And so anyways, I left. And then what I did was I got a guitar player and I just went and got myself a gig.
How old were you when you did all that?
It was college. I'm terrible with age and dates, but...
You're in your 20s, early 20s?
It was, yeah, my 20s. Okay. Yeah. It was, you know, I just... So basically I finished like, it's a 3-year program. I finished like 2¼ years.
Wow.
No, 2¾ of a year. I didn't finish the last year. I just went out, and then I got myself a gig at a place called Irie.
Nice.
Food joint. There you go. This little reggae bar that was so cool. And because I was, like, literally in Toronto, I was friends with all of the best singers and musicians.
Right.
I was always going out to support everyone's jams. And so I was like, I'm going to get a gig, and I'm going to invite all the different singers to come and feature on my show so they could see me, because none of them really knew I sang. They all knew I was
smart cookie.
And I'm going to cross-promote and get everybody to come down and pack the place, and then I'll get to, like, you know, actually work with them.
And then I'll be a star.
I mean, that like, just the networking and the schmoozing, like, that's such a big part of it, especially when you're starting out. And I know that, you know, that's how you would do it, too, Nikki. You'd be every one of your shows, you'd be talking to every single person.
Every single person, they're like, what's your email?
Yeah.
Give me your email. Okay, cool.
But just making all those connections, and now you can put on a show where you can say, oh, yeah, I know this person. They'll come and sing this night. They'll come sing that night. That's huge.
I knew that from real early, and I was really blessed to have them as examples. And, I was really for years watching and, like, training, and I didn't even know it. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
That's awesome.
Because, and I just was really lucky to be surrounded by, you know, some incredible
talent.
I moved out when I was 16 from my neighborhood because I just wanted, I knew that I didn't want to, like, my sister was pregnant at 15 and then 17. All my friends were getting pregnant.
Didn't want to go down that road.
I just, you know, I saw a lot of, like, corruption and stuff going on, and like I said, the neighborhood wasn't that great. So,
well, it's the opportunities.
That I wanted to be like downtown Toronto in the city. I wanted to go to the best dance school, and that's what I did. I started taking classes there, and then eventually they opened the musical theater college, and then that's when I started to get the idea and enroll. And
when did you ever like start writing music then, or was that later?
Actually, I got a grant from the government. I applied.
See,
for
Canada, Canada's got it right.
Yeah,
Canada, Australia, New Zealand. They're like, you know what? We should fund the artists to be creative.
Yeah,
and in America, they're like, no, get a job and figure it out.
Right. Yeah. Work 80 hours a week and don't get paid.
So I went and put a package together, and then, like, out of 1,000 recipients, I won my first demo award.
That's amazing.
To get to, like, $3,000 to do my first demo. And I worked with these really incredible producers that I've met, actually, through my ex-boyfriend. Who was
They're good for
artist,
something,
but,
those ex-boyfriends.
You know, exactly. I made the relationship, and then I was like, guys, because they were writing, like, for the top Canadian artists, and they were just, it was amazing. For my first experience, I literally walked in the studio, and I came out, and they, like, my vocals were mixed, and all laid
That's
out,
the best
and the
feeling.
Song was,
wow.
just, and I was like, holy crap. Like, so it was really amazing to, like, start like that in such a professional atmosphere. And then they let me write. So the first few songs they did, and then I wrote the last song with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing to be around them.
Yeah. Well, you feed off that energy, too. It's like, I think that's probably one of the first times you probably got bit by the bug. Like, just being around all that creative energy. Like, you know, school is one thing, but when you're actually out there in the real world doing it, it's like, I don't know, it's a different animal. It's a different beast.
Yeah, well, actually, I was dancing professionally with one of the top hip-hop dance companies in Canada. And so I was backing all the artists dancing.
Wow.
And I just got to a point.
They're
just
impressed.
Got to a point where I was like, and I was doing music videos and television and film and commercials. And then basically, I got to the point where I was like, I don't belong. I knew, like, I didn't belong here. I was like, I want to be up there. I feel like I'm, you know, I'm ready to be up there. And I kind of was looking to, like, for a mentor to find out, like, how do I become a cool recording artist? So how do I just jump in or get in the studios or whatever? And so that's when I just approached the producers and said, you know, I want to apply for this grant, and I would love you guys to support. And I knew that they knew how to get it.
Like,
they
so were, you were like, I want to give up the jazz hands for the jazz voice. Let's do this. I'm putting away the hands. They're only going to be used without being decorative. Well, let's get to one of your songs. What are you going to play us first?
Oh, am I going to play it or live?
Well, no, no, no. We're going to have Lincoln and you jam. You're going to jam for us. What are you going to perform for us first?
I'm going to do a song called I Care. It's one of my new songs.
Here it comes. Hold on just a second. And, we're going to switch seats, play musical chairs.
Okay. So you need this microphone on. This is quite a process. There we go.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely not what I need. That's also not what I need.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's such a pleasure.
Of course.
This is a lot of fun so far.
That's what this is about. We get to play musical chairs, too. I mean, that doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah. I can't wait to tell you more about Toronto.
Here comes, ladies and gents.
All right. This is called I Care. You're close. Somehow we stay so far apart, but our hearts still grow. I know you're lost, but I can't find you where you go. Our minds connected, souls and spirits stay protected. Yeah. Ooh, I care. Yes, I wanna love you. I care. But no one above you, I care. Can't wait to show you, hold you in my arms. Love you all night long. I try to move forward, but I can't move on. I look around and I compare everywhere. You know me like a book from cover inside out. We have something so sweet, don't want to live without. You might be out of sight, but you're in my reach. Sometimes I get so mad, heartbeats, and I start to preach. But boy, you know I've got your back from time to play. This song reminds you, ooh, how I can demonstrate. Ooh, I care. Yes, I wanna love you. I care. Put no one above you. I care. Can't wait to show you, hold you in my arms. Love you all night long. Well, you may be too busy, but remember this. A day kind of loving you cannot resist. I'll give you time, though you know I deserve so much more. You have no idea what you've got in store. Yeah.
love you. I care. Can't wait to show you, hold you in my arms. Love you all night long.
Very nice. That was smooth.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. There we go. I like it.
I figured out the applause. That was great.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that one was
amazing. Tell me what that song was about. Like, what inspired that?
Well,
and real quick, Lincoln on the keys, killing it, man.
That sounded awesome.
Thank you,
awesome pocket.
Trying to hold it together, man. Trying to hold it together.
I was grooving, man. I liked it. It was good.
He does his thing. And thank you, Lincoln, because he totally like showed up last minute today for me.
Oh.
First time he's ever played it with me.
Oh, wow.
That. The studio audience loved it.
Appreciate
and I hear the projects of Canada oozing out of your soul singing. It's good.
Thank
I was
you.
Like, man, this girl ain't from Canada. She's from the projects. I can hear it. Sounded good. Sounded really good.
Thank you.
So tell me, what was the inspiration behind it?
Of course, a boy.
We boys, we inspire so many good songs.
That's why we're so awesome.
Oh, goodness, yeah. It was a relationship, a friendship that I had.
When you say friendship,
right?
Exactly.
You just every guy was just like, "Oh, sure."
It sounds like he thought it was a relationship, and you thought it was a friendship.
No.
Yeah,
that's how my how my relationship
was. Maybe the opposite.
Wrong,
was it the opposite?
Wrong. No.
Okay.
So it was a friendship, and it was a really great friendship actually for a long time, for years, and it was kind of like a go-to. You know, friend that I could be creative with and write with, and it was a professional relationship first, and a very good friendship for years, and then. You know, we hooked up, connected on a spiritual tip and on a, you know, a few different levels and, you know, a little love interest kind of thing. But, I was touring, I was away, it was like back and forth. And so it's one of those things where, you know, you don't know what it is, but you know that you have a special relationship and a friendship and you respect each other and it's all good. But, you know, it's like situation keeps you apart and then. Sometimes also the dude just don't tell you what it is.
Ah,
well, that's true too. That happens.
You know, dudes, it gets to the point where it's like, all right, you know what? Like, what is this, man? Right. Like, because I just need to know. Just tell me.
Well, when there's so much involved, you kind of that's when guys are like, no, I don't want. That's not. This is
well, because you're also, you know, your connection has been accelerated because you're also writing together and you're whatever, you know, if you're playing together or whatever. So there's a more intense sort of.
It was very
acceleleration
intense.
Of feelings, I suppose.
Well,
it was very intense.
Thank you.
Really beautiful.
Thank you. I've been around.
But, you know, it's just one of those things. And, you know, I usually try to stay away from musicians because, you know.
We're trouble. We're trouble.
It's hard. But at the same time, then, you know, I've been single forever because, you know, as an artist life, a lot of people outside the business don't get it.
Mm. Right.
And
right.
the you're lifestyle. Right.
You're traveling. You're living out of a suitcase.
Yeah. And so it's kind of one of those things. But anyway.
So do you still keep in contact with him?
No. He's gone. Oh.
You're like, you sang this whole song about I care, and you're like,
I did.
Yeah, but I don't care enough to call him.
I did care, but then it got messy.
Right.
It got
right.
messy.
Well, that's how it happens.
You got it's a good okay. song.
You know what?
That's good.
I like
yeah,
it.
And that's the thing. It comes from, you know, and I still do care. Unfortunately, you're one of these guys that just gets himself in trouble with women all the time. And, and you know, he could be very successful at too. Sometimes, you know, the power of the, I'm not going to say it. But, you know, trouble. Just trouble. And some people get lost in it.
I think I have a soundbite for it somewhere.
Unfortunately.
Sorry.
So I do care still for him, but I'm not in that way.
I got to say something that was really cool watching you perform. I'm looking at your notes on your iPad, and you actually have all the little oohs and the little licks, like little notes that you're like, okay, this is why I do this. I'm like, that's some cool shit.
Well, I mean, I brought backup just because it was totally last minute. And
No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying I was like, I was looking at it, and then I was like, oh, I can train. Like, I was figuring it out. Like, okay, she's got a couple dots here. She's probably going to do a lick. But in the beginning, I was like, okay, she probably...
Behind the curtain.
The yeah, you know.
Pulling the curtain
back. You see
back.
What's pulling this
thing. That's why we usually make him sit over there.
That's right. So I don't see all the magic tricks. I'm like, oh, excuse me, I know how you did that. No, it sounded awesome. So is that on a record?
That's a single. That's something I just worked on with a producer in L.A. here.
Okay.
Since I got here, he's the one that sponsored me to stay here in, with my visa. Because I'm on like extraordinary artist visa. Like extraordinary singer-songwriter.
That's awesome.
Which, by the way, is very difficult to get as well. It was like a 1,000-page application.
God.
And just craziness.
People, you know, meanwhile, there's people illegally coming into the country all the time. But like artists that actually contribute to society, they're like, wait a minute. hold on. Yeah, what are you doing here?
A lot of people don't understand because we're in Americas, you know, and they think we're so close and we're similar in cultures and way, you know, people are like, oh, Canadians are just like America.
Right.
But it is very difficult.
What?
I know. Well, people say that. I'm like, no, it's different.
You're like, we're different, eh? Come on. Yeah. We're different. You know. I'm grateful.
I'm grateful to be here, and I'm definitely
so learning a lot. Have you recorded that song yet? That's on a new record?
Yes, that's it. That is.
Okay, cool.
I'm looking right. Well, I'm working with some different producers as well right now on some new stuff.
Okay.
So, but these two are the latest singles that I wrote myself.
How do you know where to find the right producer? How do you know that you found somebody
Craigslist.
That's...
I'm just kidding.
You don't know. You just kind of
like,
meet.
But how do you meet someone? You're just like out somewhere. You're like, hey, I'm a producer.
Well, you know what? Blah, blah. I believe... like, it's just building relationships, you know what I mean? And I mean, for me, I made a living out of being a live entertainer. So like after I left, I got a 3-month opportunity to tour in Asia and I stayed for 6 years.
So where does that opportunity come from? I don't know anything about this business.
Okay,
I'm just
like
a dumb guy.
I'm basically saying that because I'm a go-getter and I'm out there and I'm performing live, so I'm meeting a lot of people in the business. I'm surrounded by different musicians, so I'm always talking and networking. And, you know, you might work with someone like Lincoln and be like, Lincoln, what are you doing on this side? Well, Lincoln produces too. Mm-hmm. Well,
Lincoln, you know, where are you
can
from?
Can we do a song? Actually, Lincoln, we should do a song. Shoot.
I see.
Let's
do a song.
He's ready.
I would love to do a song with Lincoln.
I got one. It's got a little riff like that.
No, I know he was doing some EDM a while back and like, you know.
No, that's Take Just Breaks. That's Take Breaks.
Oh, fuck. That's my karaoke song.
Fuck.
That's what Brian's kid would
do. I do that
fuck.
Karaoke.
Thought I had such a good idea.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah, just I think in general, just, you know, like, just being, going, getting out there and talking to people. And, like, I literally approach people online.
Networking.
And, you know, like, I want to do a song with this boy, too.
That's right.
This brother. I mean, the more the merrier. I mean.
We're trouble.
Did you hear my freestyle earlier?
Brian is available as well.
I could do a little backup sort of. Like, you know,
some
guy comes on
Greg
the rap guy.
Backup today for me.
Get up, Boo.
I'm just kidding. My voice is a little hoarse today.
No apologies. You sound great. What are you going to play for us next? Let's just get right to it because Lincoln's ready. He's got the hot fingers. He's like, yeah, I'm feeling this.
This one is
you got a very loungy sound. It's putting me in a vibe.
Yeah.
I'm like, we gotta dim the lights. Oh, yeah, this you're in the soul. I should just have you playing while we just talk and do the show like that.
That's not bad. I like that. That'd be kind of cool.
Step
like
into
this?
In it.
Yeah. All right.
So this is called You Make My Heart Sing.
All right, let's hear it.
Got what you want. Come on now. Hey, yeah, yeah. Got what you want, got what you need. You make my heart sing. Got what you want, got what you need. I want your love, baby. Got what you want, got what you need. You make my heart sing. Inside and out, for you I have no doubt. I want your love. Every time I see your face, my emotions creep up, crave your embrace. I never knew that I felt this way until you showed up with your sweet and sexy ways. Boy, now here I am, my hand in yours. The trouble is, ooh, life takes its course. I wish that I could give you my all. Truth is, your heart's not with me at all. But I want your love. Got what you want, got what you need. You make my heart sing. Got what you want, got what you need. I want your love, baby. Got what you want, got what you need. You make my heart sing. Inside and out, for you I have no doubt. I want your love, my blessed friend, the one I adore. We had great times. Truth is, love takes its toll. I'd love to put your heart in my hand, 'cause you're the definition of a solid man. And there you go one time again. I see you from a distance with my other friend. I thought that we could have something. Maybe I was wrong. I
keep moving on and I want your love. Got what you want, got what you need. You make my heart sing. Got what you want, got what you need. I want your love, baby. Got what you want, got what you need. You make my heart sing inside and out. But you, I have no doubt. I want your love. Oh, I want your love. Keep moving on, oh, hey, 'cause I want your love. I want your love. Got what you want, got what you need. You make my heart sing. Got what you want, got what you need. I want your love, baby. Got what you want, got what you need. You make my heart sing inside and out. You, I have no doubt. I want your love. Keep moving on.
Like a job from Skippy.
That was good.
Thank
smooth
you.
Skippy.
Yeah, you're moved. I can see it. You're like, oh, that was get a little twinkle in
I
your
like
eye.
That. Yeah.
It's getting hot in here.
Yeah. I was imagining she was singing about me. She was saying very complimentary things about whoever, whatever man she was singing about. So I just kind of dreamt. It must be.
It was you. Oh.
It took you to a place. No, I was in it. I was grooving. I was like, I had a stinky face on. I was like, yeah. That's
some
breezy shit right there. Yeah, just ready to hop on Kit. Just like, I'm not a drummer, but I can feel this.
I know. It's so nice with the drummer, the whole band. I mean.
So is that on the same record, that song?
That well, they're two singles.
Okay.
Yeah, they're two separate singles. And
two
I'm looking
singles
to
are better
them.
Than one.
Hey. I'm looking to place them on some television and film. And yeah, like, I had an artist from The Voice that was interested in one of them. And the producer, he was, you know, working out some deal. I don't know. But I'm open, you know.
They've already run to Nova Scotia and they're making the charts.
I'm just
like, she'll never look
write.
Here.
Yeah.
I have a funny story with Lincoln. Actually, Lincoln, I don't know if you remember how we met, but we met in a sandwich joint and I was in the middle of making a record and you were like, yo, man, are you a musician? I was like, yeah, I'm a musician. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm in the middle of a record. Why don't you come by and check out this
studio? The High Mart.
Yeah, the High Mart.
We met at the
That's
fucking
right.
High Mart.
Dude, I love that place.
So good.
Best sandwiches. High Mart. Yeah? Ben. Oh, my God. Ben, if you're listening, dude, we just plugged your sandwich.
Ben is the dude. You just got plugged on the radio.
Do they That's have right. Vegan sandwiches there?
They got some. Yeah, they do. They got falafel and stuff.
Okay.
They're legit, man.
Thank you, Ben. You will see me someday.
I knew you were a badass musician. Yeah. No.
I'm a chef.
That's how we met.
So then I went down the street to the studio, and it was like this old school studio, and they're like, yeah, that's the tape machine that Pink Floyd's The Wall
that's
was
right.
recorded
That's
on.
Right. That's right.
At which point, I involuntarily released some urine in my pants.
Just a little bit.
What was that?
Yeah. Wait, what?
And then we add each other on Facebook, and then you're playing with all the guys, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you're playing with Matt Hayes, you're playing with Frank, you're playing with Lyndon.
I just had a hit with Lyndon the other night. So
he's the best. He's the best, man.
Love that dude.
You're in good hands with all those guys. So I was like, oh man, he's playing with all the same peeps, man. We're connected with not by sandwich and music, but the network is there too. So
but also sandwiches.
You sounded great, man. I mean, honestly, all those chord voicings so badass and the comping on the left hand. Your vocals sound amazing.
Thank you.
That
so much.
Song was just like greasy, man. It was like, whew. I feel that, like,
Thank you, darling.
So, let me ask you this. What influenced your direction for that song? Or for all your songs, are kind of in that soul, jazzy, loungy vibe.
You know what? That one's actually more, it's a lot more dancey. It's like
but you're doing the stripped down lounge acoustic
radio. Yeah, we're doing acoustic things, so we're...
It's always going to come across a little loungy
when
it's
doing
just...
Acoustic.
Yeah, but I like that. No, it's still cool.
You know... Well, first of all, I'm a live entertainer, so I have a lot of energy on stage. So that's why that one is a bit more dancey and stuff. And of course, when you have all the instrumentation, it's a lot different. But I don't know, I just, you know what, just all gut. You know, I just, my like heart feeling at the moment, like those songs definitely came from a place. I was in a Hollywood apartment that I had.
You've all been there.
And I was just like, you know, I actually was really blessed to work with this producer. He helped sponsor me to be here and, you know, to stay in the States and get me a visa and everything. And so I was blessed with, like, a studio to work out of. And he just gave me the tracks, and I just wrote on them, and that
That's
these two
awesome.
Actually were my latest two that I wrote and vocally arranged it the whole myself.
That's
he just
a great
engineered
feeling.
For me
cool.
and
yeah.
let me go in, and I was yeah. just like, really, Lord, you just blessed me like with a studio, and like he's just going to engineer and let me do my thing.
Do you play instruments as well?
I clunk yeah. around, you know what I mean? But really, I hire the best.
Right.
And
I'll let them do the dirty work.
Yeah, and honestly, because I since I was young, I took the, you know, the business side mm. of the industry. And right. My time, unfortunately, I wasn't able to spend on instruments.
And it's more fun to crack the whip. Let's be honest.
As much as I wish, I love, and I am, you know, playing keys and picking up guitar now mm. and trying to, like, spend time. But
it gives you a lot more of a vocabulary. And I learned, like, every instrument, not just, like, guitar, piano, any instrument. It opens different directions.
It does, yeah.
Sometimes it simplifies things. Sometimes it just connects the dots.
But this is the thing about the industry. So when you're a full-time artist making a living as a singer and an entertainer full-time for, like, 12 years now, you know, you got to – I'm like, the social media, the booking, the management, the, you know, sending all the music to the musicians – you know, finding the gigs,
yeah.
you know, art directing.
You're the manager
everything.
And tour manager and artist. And
calling
and
the stylist. Keyboard player at 6 o'clock at night, yeah. being like, hey, can you come here an hour from now? Here's how the songs go.
I know.
Wait, so let's talk about that real quick. You guys did not rehearse.
No.
That was our rehearsal just now.
That is bad as shit. I mean,
so what do you have, like a piece of paper there with some chords on it? Like, how did you know?
Yeah. I just gave myself some quick, like, scratch notes just to remember
so
a couple specific things.
Well, like, it's a cat. He knows. He's like, I'm going to make this work.
That's why
I work
with the best.
We're going to make this right.
That's right. That's right. No, that's... Dude,
I got on speed dial.
You're
going to
get another one
of
these. Hold on. It's coming. Take a bow. Love it.
On top of it...
Let's talk real quick about where you're playing, because might as well tell people where...
Yes, I actually have a residency I've been doing for, like, almost a year now at the 77 Lounge in Culver City.
Oh, wow.
It's Culver City's coolest little speakeasy, and it's off of Main Street. It's behind a place called Rocco's in a back little lane.
The pizza joint. So you were next to, like, Melrose
Mac?
No,
not Rocco's. Not that Rocco's. Okay. It's a Rocco's sports bar.
Okay.
And it's right off of Main Street, literally, like, a few... Like off of Culver Boulevard, where the Culver Hotel is
in Culver City,
across the street.
Yeah,
same place. Right. There's a couple of them.
What?
Yeah. There's a Rocco's here on Ventura, and then there's that one. It's like an Italian.
Melrose Mac is there too.
That's not it. It's a different Rocco's. Yeah, no, but it's not the pizza place. It's actually Rocco's Sports Bar.
No. I know. I'm just saying it's next to the place that I'm thinking of. Right?
It's down the street. Yeah.
Hey, it's Rocco.
Hey, Rocco.
Anyway, let me tell you, it's down the lane.
The Rondonians.
Let me tell them.
Sorry. All right, start over. Let's not get too excited.
Plug your lounge.com.
Do it one more time.
77 Lounge. So it's 70 and then number 7. lounge.com.
Cool.
And it's also at 77 Lounge on Instagram, so you can find it. And it's all over my social media, so Sarah Day, SARAHDAYE on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the above is under my name. And it's from 9 till 12:30.
Nice.
It's free to get in, no cover.
That's
it reminds
great.
Me of New York. It's a really vibey, soulful like
what day of the week?
Tuesday.
On
the
Tuesday.
Second
Smart.
Tuesday, the second Tuesday of every month.
Ah.
That's not every second Tuesday. It's just the first second Tuesday.
Look for the little elf with the riddle.
I know, right? Anyway, second Tuesday, 77 Lounge, which is September 8th.
I have a question about that quick. Why is it not the 707 Lounge? Didn't you say it's 707?
Can we push one of those? No.
I think I got
17.
One. No, I'm not going to bother.
70? 70?
Yeah, but 70 spelled. 17.
Oh, 70?
Number 7. Lounge.
Right.
Like
so 70.
70.
We're wasting way too much time.
70.
Is it going to be a
link? Individuals. Good question. There could be somebody that could be looking for those numbers and then they
right.
just. Now
no, that's why I said
see?
Spelled 70.
Right. 70.
Number
then
seven.
The number
right.
7.
I was paying attention to that. Sorry.
I got it.
Let's play a track from your record.
We don't have that.
Well, hold on. We do.
Yeah, we do.
Brian, you're fired.
Sorry, I don't have that. I usually have it.
Damn it, Brian.
Where can I plug this in?
I know. So I'm only a part-time guy.
This is actually an EDM
really,
song.
Really a low-budget guy.
Let's move this. Yeah. Go for it.
This is actually a...
should I be doing something?
Yeah, an EDM song that I did in Canada. And yeah, check it out. It's called For Love. It's a different vibe, but, you know, I do all kinds of stuff. I'm about being international. So when I toured over in Southeast Asia, I was opening for major DJs. And that's where there's some money. So we need to do an EDM single so we can go tour with some DJs.
Let's hear it.
And this
Let's
is,
go.
Yeah, this is For Love. Peace.
Make my dreams. 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 Make my dreams.
While we're waiting. Won't you feed my soul? Tell me what you need. Won't you lose control? Make my dreams come true. Won't you feed my soul?
Very nice,
nice
indeed.
Sir. How do you approach writing an EDM song differently from writing, you know, one of your, you know, soul songs?
Like, I don't know. I think every situation is different because it's your environment. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I was in the studio with my boy who they're doing all kinds of stuff like that. So, but I think like with EDM, it's kind of cool because it's like a lot simpler. It's usually like a hook and a verse, and you just kind of vibe. And I don't know, I freestyle. I just kind of go off the top of my head.
And then something comes out, and you're like, ah, that's
it. And then either someone likes it or I like it, or, right. You know, you sometimes you go back and listen, and then you're like, oh, I like that. And some stuff fits and some doesn't, and then you kind of play around with
different
it.
Art form.
Well, Sarah, you were an awesome guest. Thank you so much for being on Wake Up Hollywood.
Thank you so much.
Real quick, give everybody your Twitter handles and websites and all that stuff.
Okay, everything is sarahday.com, sarahday.com, and at Sarah Day. SoundCloud, all the above. If you go to sarahday.com, you'll find everything, and then Facebook, Sarah Day. You can Google me, Sarah Day, and you'll find everything, but it's Daye. And Yeah,
it's been a pleasure. And Sarah with an H.
And Sarah with an H. Awesome. And then 77 Lounge, September 8th is the next show. Come and check it out. And every second Tuesday of the month at 77 Lounge in Culver City.
Awesome, cool. Sarah. Lincoln, you guys were awesome on behalf of Brian and I.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank
you,
Brian.
We'll see you next week.
And you can find me at thesexyvegan.com.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm all over.
Get at it.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk.